is full of natural nuisances. Mosquitoes, raccoons, moles, to name a few. But now there's a new pest to worry about, one that weighs hundreds of pounds and spreads diseases to animals and humans. I'm Brian Ellison. No, not me. Today's Central Standard will look at the problem. It's the migration and spread of feral hogs. Once a sight in the rural South, but now widespread in Kansas and Missouri. Also today, in light of the deadly tornadoes last month in Oklahoma that claimed the lives of three storm chasers, we'll look at the world of storm chasing and storm spotting. What draws people to this profession, and how can they stay safe while chasing a dangerous natural disaster? It's all ahead on Central Standard, after the news. They're 300 pounds, all snouts and sharp teeth, not the prettiest things. They eat birds out of their nests and have been known to devour baby fawns. They destroy crops and pollute water sources and spread diseases. They're super smart, and now they've got a target on their back. Good morning, I'm Brian Ellison, and this is Central Standard, Bad Pig Edition. It's not just a problem for the rural South anymore. Kansas and Missouri are working to control, no, actually to wipe out the feral hog from our maps. Later this morning, we'll talk about those who chase tornadoes for science or thrills. But first, a different kind of threat. Joining us are two experts on the feral hog problem. James Dixon is a naturalist at the Missouri Department of Conservation. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
And also joining us is John Mayer. He's the author of Wild Pigs in the United States, Their History, Comparative Morphology, and Current Status. Jack, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Brian.
He's also a research scientist and manager at the Savannah River National Laboratory in South Carolina, where he's joining us from this morning. James Dixon from the Missouri Department of Conservation, let me start with you. The website makes no bones about it, the state website. Let me just read a couple lines. Feral hogs are dangerous, destructive pests that must be eradicated in Missouri and may be killed in any number at any time. Although the Conservation Department discourages hunting specifically for feral hogs in Missouri, hunters for other game should shoot feral hogs on sight. I don't know, James. Seems a little harsh, doesn't it?
Well, it seems a little harsh until you see what they do. I tell you, if you have hogs on your land, you wouldn't think that that's too harsh.
Well, tell us what that would look like. How would I know a feral hog had been on my land?
Well, I'm down here in the southwestern portion of the state, and we have don't have a lot of row crops down here, but we have a lot of pastures. Hay is a pretty big industry down here, and they can get in a hay field, and in one night, a group of hogs can turn over several acres. If you have hogs on your property, you'll know it because it looks like it's been rototilled overnight.
Wow.
So pretty destructive, you know, and people, you know, when they get into row crops, that's where you really start getting into lots of money. But, you know, down here, especially with the way the droughts have been lately, hay can be big money also. But they rototill these fields like nobody's business and are extremely efficient, very good at it.
I suppose if you could control that somehow, it would actually be useful to a farmer, but it doesn't happen where and when you want it to.
Yeah, no, believe me, it's not useful at all.
So, Jack, you literally wrote the book on wild pigs. Describe for our listeners a feral hog. If I were to meet one in a dark alley, what would I see?
Well, a feral hog, at least by my definition, is a wild pig that is solely of domestic ancestry, either one or more generations removed from domestication. And very simply, a feral hog looks like an underfed domestic pig, kind of rangy looking, not very well kept, as it were.
not much for the grooming, really.
But we actually have the species we're talking about is Sus scrofa, and it's an old world species, was introduced here to the new world by man. And there are three types of wild Sus scrofa that we have here in the United States. We've got the feral hogs, those wild pigs that are solely of domestic ancestry. We've also got some pockets of pure Eurasian wild boar. Missouri doesn't have that, but some other states do. And then because they're the same species, you've got hybrids between those two parental stocks. And so we've got three different types of wild pigs, as it were, here in the U.S.
So, Jack, how are they different from the pigs that maybe we have in our mind when we imagine the pink pigs in a farmyard somewhere?
Well, these are truly wild animals, and they're kind of like the ultimate survivors. And currently, they are the most successful large invasive species here in the United States. If you go back into the 20th century, populations of wild pigs here in the U.S. were found in about 20 or so states, and they numbered about 1 million animals. But then after 1990, all that changed. If you look at the ensuing slightly less than 2.5 decades, they've now been reported in 47 states, and population estimates tell us that there may be as many as 8 million wild pigs running around the backwoods here of the U.S., and all of them are doing destruction.
James Dixon of Missouri's Conservation Department, what is the situation here in Missouri? And maybe you could speak to even surrounding states like Kansas.
Yeah, it's really difficult for us to get a handle on how many pigs we have here. I think it's safe to say that we're in the thousands of pigs. Could be in the tens of thousands. It's a really difficult thing to get a handle on. Our neighboring state that has the largest pig population is Arkansas. And we recognize that some pigs are coming across the border, but, you know, we've got our own homegrown population of pigs, and we've got hunters that like to turn pigs loose also just for hunting purposes. We have a lot of national forest down here, and we got fellas that turn them loose on the national forest. Makes it really difficult for us to get a handle on how many pigs we have. All we know is we have a lot of them.
I assume that's illegal to release pigs into the wild.
It is absolutely illegal, but you know, it's a really difficult. It's a crime that only takes a very short amount of time to commit, and we have to catch somebody in the act of doing it, which they have done in the past. It doesn't happen very often. It's also illegal to guide pig hunts on public land here in Missouri, and we've had some folks that have been caught doing that as well. But they're difficult crimes. You have to catch folks in the act of doing it, so it just doesn't happen very often that we catch folks that are turning these pigs loose. We know that that's occurring, though, because we have caught pigs, wild pigs, that still have plastic ear tags. Their ears are notched, or they're wearing plastic ear tags where they were recently purchased and released. So we know that illegal releases are still going on.
Jack, you mentioned that there was a real upturn in the spread of pigs or wild hogs in the United States in 1990. What happened then?
Very simply, what happened was after 1990, wild pigs became the second most popular big game animal in North America, second only to white-tailed deer in numbers harvested every year. And those hunters that wanted to get in on hunting these premier big game animals, they saw it on TV, on cable channel, on ESPN or outdoor channel, or read about it on the web, but they didn't want to drive south. They very quickly figured out this was something that they could fix. All you had to do was go get yourself a trailer load of pigs and take them to where you wanted them, turn them loose, and pigs did the rest. Again, completely illegal in all 50 states, breaking both federal and state laws, but that, unfortunately, has stopped very few people. We also have several hundred commercial fence shooting operations in this country that offer wild boar hunts. Pigs don't fence well either, and they've been escaping out of all those fenced enclosures. So between these clandestine illegal releases and these escapees out of these fenced operations, this is where the pig bomb, as we call it, has come from.
I've seen that that actually some of the problem, at least in some of the early stages, is domesticated pigs getting away. Am I right that domestic pigs can very quickly become wild ones?
That's true, and that's something that's really been ongoing for a long time in this country. Pigs, for whatever reason, domestic pigs go wilder quicker than any other domestic species that we have. Why that is, we don't know, but that is a fact. And that has definitely been a component of the increase that we've seen. However, I think the vast majority of have been these illegal releases and escapees out of these fenced operations.
Apart from the damage that they do, James, what are some of the characteristics of these wild hogs? Maybe it's part of the answer to the question why they're so successful out in the wilderness.
If we could back up for just a second, I'd like to address a point which Jack just made, that the law in Missouri, we recognize that we've got these Eurasian wild pigs, but we've also got, like he mentioned, just escaped domestic pigs that just go wild on their own. The law in Missouri, we classify a wild pig, a feral hog, is any hog, whether it's a Eurasian pig or whether it might even be a pot-bellied pig. But if he is running loose on land where he doesn't have permission to be, and he is not clearly marked with an ear tag or a collar or just some clear identification, we consider that a wild pig here in this state, and it can be shot on sight by anybody if he's someplace he's not supposed to be. So in this state, you know, when we're talking about wild pigs, it's not just that Eurasian boar. We're talking about any pig that's running loose where he doesn't have permission to be and is not clearly ID'd. You know, he could be a source. That could be a source population. We want to get any pig population wiped out. So law in Missouri says just any pig not clearly marked, take him out.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. We're talking about feral hogs, bad pigs taking over sections of Missouri and Kansas. Well, maybe it's not quite that bad, but it's pretty darn serious. What is the extent of the problem here in Missouri, James? Is it how much does this cost? Do we have any idea?
Oh, you know, I couldn't put a dollar figure on it, but I can tell you that I'm too far down the totem pole to mess with the dollar figures, but I can tell you that every year we're putting more and more money into it, so much so that last year we came up with a five-year plan. So in this state, we've got a five-year, we're calling it our hog eradication plan. That is the goal, eradication. You know, there is some discussion, there's some disagreement within the agency as to whether we can actually eradicate them or if we're going to be more, if this is going to be more of a control effort, But officially, our plan is to get these pigs eradicated. Every year, we're devoting more staff time. We're devoting more resources to it. But I can tell you, just down here, I cover about a 20-county area, and I'd say every month, just down here in my 20 counties, I spend several thousand dollars in pig control efforts just in purchasing trap materials and bait for these hogs. And that's of course not including my the time of me and some of the staff that works with me, but it's getting more and more expensive every year. And what we want citizens to realize is that it can get a lot worse. We're at the point where several southern states were decades ago, and many of those southern states are completely overrun, and they have no hopes of eradicating pigs in some states like Texas. We hope that we don't get to that point, but we're on our way if we don't devote more time, more money, more effort to it.
That's James Dixon. Jack Mayer, from a standpoint of someone who has studied this a lot, beyond the crop damage and the property damage, are the wild hogs actually dangerous to humans?
They are potentially. I mean, they are a wild animal. If they feel threatened or they feel backed into a corner, they will defend themselves. If you look at the decade from 2003 until the end of 2012, slightly less than four people were killed somewhere on the face of the earth every year because of wild pig attacks. They are rare, but it does happen. Probably a bigger concern are vehicle collisions with these animals, and they have been going up over the last couple decades. And we have seen a number of people in this country killed every year because of wild pig vehicle collisions.
Can you re-domesticate a wild pig once it's gone wild? Does it ever go good again?
Well, you could. You could
if like, you don't shoot
like
it. First,
many wild animals. Yeah. You could tame one of these animals back down. However, I'm not sure why you'd want to do that.
Good question. Maybe some of our listeners can help. Does anyone have anything nice to say about feral hogs? Also, we'd love to hear if you've encountered a wild swine here in Kansas or Missouri. Maybe you have a personal testimony of invasive rooting or wallowing. Give us a call at 816-235-2888, 235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Dave in Overland Park, Kansas, welcome to Central Standard.
Yes, sir. Hi. I come from Florida, where we've been dealing with this forever. And down there, there's open season on pigs. If you're driving down the highway and you see one in somebody's pasture, you're authorized by the state to kill it on sight. these things can be very dangerous. They can be really good eating, but they can be very dangerous because, particularly if there's in numbers of three or more, they have no fear of people at all.
Huh.
They may run away from you, but they'll run off into the bushes and they'll stalk you if you're out hiking. I had a 500-pound pig stalk me and my dogs through the forest in Florida for 2 days.
Wow. Dave in Overland Park says that wild hogs will stalk you. Has that been what you've experienced, Jack?
Well, there have been at least a handful of accounts of predatory attacks by wild pigs on people where the people were attacked and killed as a source of food and in some cases largely consumed by that animal. Again, they're the ultimate survivor. They will do whatever it takes to survive. And if that includes tracking somebody down and attacking and killing and eating them, that's within the realm of the possible with these critters.
Goodness gracious. So James, maybe you could tell us, Dave mentioned that in Florida that you can shoot hogs on sight. That's true in Missouri too, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. He mentioned if you're driving down the road and you see a pig, you can pull over and shoot it. Well, you know, in Missouri, you kind of have to know where you are. You know, we don't want people killing folks' domestic pigs. But, you know, there are, like I mentioned earlier, you know, if you're on a piece of property where you know the person's not raising pigs and they don't want any pigs on their property, or if you're in the national forest or on any state lands and you come across pigs, there are, generally speaking, no rules that apply. They can be killed by just about any method. And absolutely in any number. And, you know, we tell folks that in this state, it's illegal to kill wildlife and not use it. You know, you can't go out and shoot a deer and then just take his head and leave the rest laying there. Pigs, however, are not wildlife. And we tell folks that, you know, wanton waste does not apply when it comes to pigs. You know, kill them and leave them there for the coyotes and the other scavengers to clean up because pigs aren't considered wildlife. But, you know, I'd say we probably don't want folks driving down the road, looking over in a field, seeing a pig and jumping out and shooting it. We still have some folks that do raise domestic pigs in this corner of the state.
Wow. You know that you're pretty low on their status in society when you can't even qualify to be called wildlife.
That's right.
I tell you.
That's right, yeah.
And that's
a very important distinction. Pigs are not wildlife.
Wow. So let me take another call, actually, because I think Jim is asking a question a lot of people are thinking about. Jim in Lee's Summit, welcome to Central Standard.
Yeah, hi. Is the meat any good? Tastes like regular pork. Would they have any natural enemies? If we had wolves in Missouri, would they get that population under control?
Yeah, good two questions there. First of all, the meat, is there some incentive for hunters because the meat's good? Jack?
Well, they're very good to eat. I've got a lot of very, very excellent recipes that I use to serve up wild pig meat. It's also very popular in restaurant fare, and there are some people that make a good living off of selling carcasses into the restaurant trade.
Jim was also asking about whether there are any natural predators. You know, it sounds like they're omnivores. They eat almost anything. Does anything eat them?
Well, actually, there are quite a few animals that will prey on wild pigs, bears, mountain lions, bobcats, coyotes, golden eagles, the list goes on and on and on. Unfortunately, even though those natural predators are fairly numerous in number as far as the count, they just don't take enough wild pigs to have a controlling effect on the population.
A golden eagle can take on a wild pig?
They do, and actually golden eagles out on the California Channel Islands became a bit of a problem because they were not native to the Channel Islands, but they went out, they just excursions going out there, they found a large population of wild pigs, especially wild piglets, which they preyed on, and so they became resident out there on the islands. When the wild pigs were removed by the Nature Conservancy from the islands out there, completely eradicated, the islands are now pig-free, the golden eagles had nothing else to prey on but an endangered island gray fox. And they almost drove the population of the island fox to extinction.
Wow. You've talked about hunters being free to shoot the pigs on sight. Obviously, James Dixon, that's not how the Department of Conservation manages the overall control. What do you do to kill pigs?
Well, what we do is we rely on reports from landowners, especially farmers. You know, when farmers call with reports of damage, what we'll do, and it's kind of counterintuitive, but we'll actually feed the pigs for a while, try to keep them on that piece of property. And once they're feeding there consistently, then we'll actually go in and construct a trap. And we can build these traps to suit the size of the herd that we're going after. So we try to get them conditioned to coming into bait, build a trap, and when we're lucky, we catch the whole herd all at once.
What's the trap like?
It's basically just a corral built out of horse panels. If you're familiar with what a horse panel is, basically it's basically just a fence that we corral, built of fencing material with a trap door in it. It's got a trip wire inside. Sometimes the corral, we might build it to be as large as, 15 yards across if it's a very, very large group of pigs. With a trip wire in there, they go in there, they feed, they hit the trip wire, and that causes the door to close behind them. And we have caught as many as 31 pigs in one trapping event. We prefer to use trapping as a method because you can catch such large numbers. But one thing we've learned over the years is that pigs are so smart, no matter what you do, you have to mix it up. You can't use the same tactic over and over and over because pigs learn what that tactic is and they avoid it. So we use trapping as our number one go-to control method. We've actually got a hog hunter on contract that brings dogs in, and that's another tactic that we use. We also regularly use snares to catch pigs. We even have a department helicopter. When an area gets particularly overrun with pigs, we'll put the helicopter up in the air and we'll shoot pigs from the air. So we've got a variety of different tools we use. But the main thing that we're learning is, man, you just can't do the same thing over and over and over because pigs learn fast.
Wow. Randy in Peculiar has had some experience with feral hogs. Randy, welcome to the program.
How are you doing?
Doing great.
Okay. Yeah, it's been 3 or 4 years ago. I was overrun with potbelly pigs. Someone had come and dumped their potbelly pig down at my place in Peculiar. Before you knew it, I had 40 or 50 hogs on there and sows. And it took me about 8 months to kill them all out of there.
Wow.
And, you know, we did eat them all.
you ate well for weeks and weeks.
Yeah, we did eat them all. But like I say, we had a bunch of them. And my granddaughter used to catch the babies and dress them up like dolls and put them in their doll cart for a while. But it was a mess. And like you said, they just tear everything up.
Randy, thank you so much for the call.
Okay.
Other than Randy's granddaughters dressing up the babies as dolls, can either of you, Jack or James, help me with some redeeming qualities? I mean, there's no Bambi, there's no Flipper, there's no one to carry the banner of what's good about wild hogs, it seems. What is there anything good about them?
Well, they're cute as babies, and actually, if you have them in the house, they're easier to paper train than puppies. But then they start turning the furniture over as they get bigger. So it's
that's not as cute.
I mean, they do provide an alternative prey species for large predators like mountain lions and black bear and whatnot. And again, they are a source of meat for rural populations. You know, you can go out and inimitably get very edible meat from these animals through hunting.
Let me ask both of you as sort of a last question. Where do you see this going? Is there any chance of this getting under control in a state like Missouri or Kansas that's sort of right on the place where the pig bomb is happening now? Or are we in trouble for a long time here?
Well, Go ahead, Jack. From a national perspective, bottom line is we don't have a silver bullet right now. And I'm afraid we're going to see them in all 50 states before it's over and done with. About all we're able to accomplish right now is kind of a holding action. We're just trying to keep the numbers in check as best we can. But I'm afraid the worst may yet be to come.
And James, from a local standpoint?
I think from a Missouri viewpoint, I think it's all about educating the public. I think right now we're at a point where we could go either way. In my personal opinion, I think we might be able to eradicate these pigs if we get the public completely on our side. But one thing that we're trying to tamp down is the development of a hog hunting culture in this state. You know, you go to states where there are lots of wild pigs, and, you know, there are hog hunting clubs that pop up, and they, you know, they've got an incentive to kind of keep that hog population going because there's a constituency of folks that have devoted a lot of money and devoted a lot of time and energy into developing a pig population. We don't have that here yet. And what we need to do is educate the public and make sure that everybody knows that there are no redeeming qualities to having pigs around. So, I think if we can get buy-in from the public that we don't want pigs in this state, and we can get those intentional releases stopped, I think we might be able to get over the hump and get this problem solved. But I tell you, if the public doesn't buy in and we get lots of hog hunting clubs developing here, we're never going to get this under control.
All right. So some hopeful words as well as some cautious ones from James Dixon. He's a naturalist at the Missouri Department of Conservation. We're also joined by Jack Mayer, author of Wild Pigs in the United States, a manager and scientist at the Savannah River National Laboratory. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
When we come back, we'll turn to a different sort of scientific research, one that deals with an even greater tragedy, tornadoes and those who hop in their cars and get close to the destruction. It's not all fun and games. Sometimes it's even deadly. We'll talk to some storm chasers after the break. I'm Brian Ellison. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR.